Come on, please.
Okay. Hello and welcome to the Calvezon Water District Board Meeting for Tuesday, October 15th, 2024 at 6 o'clock p.m. If you all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And now a moment of silence for our fallen servicemen and women. Okay, thank you. Please be seated. Roll call.
Director Melissa Carlin?
Here.
Director Kathy Brock?
Here.
Director Alan Davis is absent. Board Vice Chair Terry Tincher?
Here.
Board Chair Sarah Wargo?
Here.
And General Manager Michael Pollack?
Here.
Moving on to the consent calendar. First up, we have approval of Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and warrants for September 17, 2024, as well as the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of September 17, 2024. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the minutes for the Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes of and warrants of September 17, 2024. And the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of September 17th, 2024.
I'll second. Okay. Motion to approve consent calendar items A and B made by Director Tincher and seconded by Director Brock. Director Carlin?
Aye.
Director Brock?
Aye.
Director Davis is absent. Board Vice Chair Tincher?
Aye.
And Board Chair Wargo?
Aye. Okay, next up, warrants none, awards of contract none. Moving on to new business. We have discussion action quotes for water study rates. Mr. General Manager, do you want to introduce this one?
Tab here, tab number one. So it is a discussion item, not an action item today. So we have three proposals to prepare for our new rate study. And the three quotes that we have one from Water Resources Economic, and that quote was for $43,965. And that was for remote meetings only. We're going to ask for an updated quote to meet in person, so that will probably increase the price. We have another quote from IB Consulting for $53,433. And the last item was for Black and BTEC for $35,500. But it did not have any listing for hours per person, doesn't list the total amount of hours, and only had three meetings, which the other ones, Water Resources had nine meetings, IB Consulting had six meetings. So three meetings, if you're not efficient enough, that means there's going to be additional meetings required, which means change orders and additional costs. So I think it's fair to say that once we get the revised quote back from Water Resources Economic, we can have a better idea in which direction we want to go. And I did make mention that that was something that we wanted to do in-house, to prepare a rate study. Unfortunately, we can't because of Proposition 218. And just to give you a little background information on Proposition 218, it is a California voter initiative that established requirements for setting water rates and other fees for public services. It requires public notice, public hearings, the protest process, and the proportionality. Rates must be based on the actual cost of providing service to each parcel. So because of Prop 18, we can't simply make adjustments and provide a rate study
in-house. It has to be done through an outside vendor. So we were hoping that we were going to make a motion to approve, but make a decision, but for now, it's just no action required at this time.
We need to table it?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything specific that you guys want us to look into about this before next month?
We just get the updated quote.
We just need some updated pricing and we can discuss it.
Right.
And then Ike Bailey's recommendation.
This is an executive summary of Bailey's recommendations.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's an executive summary of the references. Excellent for water resources economic. Wasn't really one on IB consulting. The references for Black and VTech is average. So seems that water resources economic would probably be the best.
Can we ask the Black and VTech if they have?
Yeah, we would. Since we're going to ask for a revised quote from water resources economic, we would also ask for a revised quote from Black and VTech as well to have a clearly defined statement.
Yeah, something that's more comparable
right.
to.
Right, right.
Maybe can we ask Bannon what they thought of it too? Yeah. Our neighbor's opinion?
Yeah. And as you can see, it has all of the previous companies that Water Resources Economic has performed, and of course the leadership, a lot of the group participations they're involved with, writing books, being on boards, and everything like that. So I believe they're very well prepared. I know we're a small district, but let's deal with a large successful firm like that.
What did we use last time?
NBS. I didn't get an official quote from them, but they gave me an estimate, I think, of $50,000. That was just through an email, though. But I could ask them to get one as well, a more
one. If you ask Lance about the people we deal with for a quote,
you haven't asked them? No.
No.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. I mean, if you're not in a big hurry.
Yeah, no, we're not. Well, I mean, we're actually going to get revised quotes. They did give all the references and everything like that. So we were going over it this week before the meeting and everything. So yeah, we could ask Lance what his input is.
Seems a little high, but for me.
And that, yeah, I would agree. It's like there should be some kind of break point for amount of services. You know, if you're 0 to 1,000, 1,000 to 3,000, 3,000 to 5, there should be some kind of breakdown as far as charges. But
yeah, because I mean, I don't see on here where they take into account for number of connections or anything.
Right, yeah.
But we have no connections, so. But I mean, that may be wires a little bit less, but they're not really doing much of a contacting of your people anyway. So, but I mean, it might be worth calling Lance and saying,
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay. So number one is tabled. Moving on to number two, discussion action for approval for well 2 site workshop costs. Tab 2 in your book.
Number 2, so this has some challenges. To get a general contractor to bid on this project, they need an approved set of plans in order for a general contractor. I did get a general contractor to give me a quote for the whole project from the ground up to complete it, and you could see the price came in at $128,000. Now, the first two quotes that I have, one was for Interstate Steel Structures for $51,078. Now, that's for the purchase of the metal building and the insulation, minus the concrete. So, in order to get a concrete quote for the 40 by 60 slab, they need an approved set of plans to figure out where the beams are going to go, where the stress points, the footing, and everything like that. And same thing with 360. So what I would ask for would be basically to go with the lowest bidder for the steel building. Then we would purchase an approved set of plans. I believe the quote for Interstate was $3,300. So we'd have to buy the plans, and then we would contact concrete contractors to give us a quote to pour the slab. Then we can do the same thing. We can do the bid tab for the concrete contractors. So we have the approval, hopefully tonight, for the metal building, and then we would get the approved set of plans. At that point in time, we can get quotes for the concrete, and then I can apply for the building permit from Riverside County. Because basically, they're just going to go by the metal building, because that's the approved set of plans. It's permittable. Now, I did try and contact Riverside County, and I even sent an email to try and get an estimate on what a building permit would be. And when I contacted Interstate, he said it should be far less than what the set of plans for the building are going to be. So it'd be less than $3,000 for a building permit. Trying to give you a ballpark figure on what the total cost of the building is going to be.
So what you're saying is you need to buy the building to get a set of plans,
right,
to do anything else.
To get the concrete quotes to go with the lowest bidder there. Now, we did get a verbal, just to give you an idea on what it's going to cost. So right now, for the well 2 site, we've installed the fire hydrants. So we had to install the hydrant because we're going to have stored chemicals there. The purchase of material for that was $2,500. We had to hire a company to hot tap the pipe. That was $1,100. We also built an asphalt, sand, and gravel bin. That was $7,700. So far, we have invested $14,981 in the well 2 improvements. The other part too is we had to move the containers from the old property to the new property. That was $2,500, so that's included. So now, just to give you a rough estimate on what a concrete slab would be, 40 by 60 is estimated at $25,000. And then the electrical components, the panel, the conduit, the wiring, you're looking roughly $8,000. We're going to do that in-house. You know, we're going to put the conduit in and have an electrician wire everything up. The purchase of the building with the approved set of engineered plans is $57,000. So altogether, with everything that we did, the building, the concrete, the electrical, would come to $105,000. Right. So one of the components we're going to be doing financially is transferring $100,000 from the sale of the Main Street property to this project, because I already budgeted $30,000. So we move $100,000 over, we have $30,000 there, $130,000, everything will come under $130,000. The whole project should be done for under $130,000. But what I'm asking for tonight is just the approval of the contract to purchase the metal building, because that's the first step. And then at that point, I would get quotes for concrete. I could bring it to the next board meeting. We can move forward, vote on the quotes for that, and the building permit from Riverside County.
So do we need a motion for this?
The other option, which is I thought what we were going to do, but maybe it's to prevent us from having to come next month, because he would need to ask for your approval to do the concrete, since it'd be over $20,000, is for you guys to approve him or allow him to approve any cost, so long as the total project stays under $130,000.
Yeah, that's the way I read it.
I think that's the way we should do it.
Okay, yeah. That way we can keep the momentum going once I purchase the building and the drawings, and then it's just a process after that. And like I said, the concrete should be about $25,000, right around there. Of course, we're going to do our due diligence on the bidding process and go with the lowest bidder. And
so I think
can you ask Robertson's last with us? I mean, they might not like somebody else pouring concrete in their yard, but
I think you've been prudent enough that we don't have to worry about that.
Okay. And of course, I did get a quote from Christine. He's a general contractor. He built several custom homes on both reservations, both the Morongo Band of Mission Indians and Yamava. So as far as the breakdown, you know, he was going to build the building, purchase the building and build it for $57,000. He was going to do the concrete work, the ground pad work, and the concrete for $47,000. So we're going to be well under that.
Yeah. Who's doing the ground?
We're going to be doing the ground.
So you're going to over-ex it now?
Yeah, yeah. We've already over-exed it and everything like that. So we're just going to go ahead and do it in shifts, you know, compact it.
So you're going to check the compaction?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we'll save a little money there.
Yeah.
And then as far as filing for the new Edison service, we've already done that. And I met with him on site, and I basically said, well, how much is it going to cost? You know, I have no idea. I said, is it going to be thousands? He said, it shouldn't be much. So it doesn't sound like it's going to be thousands. So, but there is no bidding process for an Edison service. It is what it is when it comes. So yeah, whether it's $800 or $1,500, that's the fee we're going to have to pay when the time comes. They cannot run a secondary service off our current panel that runs well too, because there's too many components in there and it would be overloaded. It wouldn't be safe. So they're going to have to run a secondary service to the building.
Do we have a motion?
I make a motion to approve it.
Approve what?
Approve moving the $100,000 to the building account
and
giving Mike the authority to move forward with what he needs to do to build it.
Are we going to approve one of these two?
I think we just let Mike go ahead and approve the building and get the lowest bidder and take care of it.
Yeah, we're going to go with the lowest bidder on the building. I already spoke to him. And
so that's Interstate?
Yeah, Interstate. Yeah.
Again. Let me try to think of how this is worded. Are you putting a money limit, or you're
No.
Giving
we're
going
to move the $100,000 to the account that you already got the $30,000
in. Right. Yep.
Okay, so that's what we're approving, and then we're also approving that Mike go ahead and move forward with the whole process.
Okay. The first step is to purchase the metal building, and we're going to go with Interstate. They're the lowest. And then get the approved set of plans, start getting the concrete quotes, setting up for the electrical components, and then we'll just keep the momentum going.
Yeah.
And everything should be well under $130,000.
Right.
Yeah.
You're figuring $105,000 to $110,000.
Right. Based on rough estimates and what we've already invested in
right.
the property.
And you should come in under 120 even with the electrical.
Right. Yep.
The meter and everything.
Yep. And all this is the plan for the future growth of Cabazon, because it is coming and they need, you know, places where they can fabricate, work, and, you know, have a little shade protection, store some of our equipment.
All that?
Oh.
I'm not.
She's writing feverishly.
So the motion is to move the additional $100,000 to the Well 2 budget account, and then also to approve giving the general manager authority to approve any building contractors for the Well 2 building?
Yes.
Is that right?
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yep. All components.
Made by Director Tincture and second by Director Carlin. Director Carlin?
Aye.
Director Brock?
Aye.
Director Davis is absent. Board Vice Chair Tincture?
Aye.
And Board Chair Wargo?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Moving on to old business, we have discussion updates with San Antonio Pass Water Agency Director, Mr. Ron Duncan. The floor is yours.
All right. Well, thank you for having me tonight. I appreciate it.
Could you speak up, please?
You know, the nice thing about being over here is I can hear what you're saying. Yeah. I think there's a thing right there that just makes it really tough to, I don't know what it is, but it makes it tough to hear you. Either that or it's just whenever I'm sitting there, you guys don't want to
let me know what's going on.
We just talk quieter when you're over there.
Yeah. Okay. On Monday, we normally wouldn't have had any kind of a meeting, or we'd not be open, but we took a trip up to the Flume up on Banning Heights Mutual, and they took us all the way back into the backcountry, and we got to see what Edison is actually doing to get water back down to them, and it's amazing. It's amazing. We also got to see the old Flume, what's left of it from Hillary, when it went through and just destroyed everything, and then the fire destroyed all the wood portions of it. But it's we were able to, as an agency, put in a new monitoring gauge at one point to be able to find out how much water was coming into the area, and it's 2.2, I think, acre feet, you know, per hour or whatever.
Is that up from the Lord? Is that Millard Canyon?
No, that's
Banning Bench.
That's where Banning Bench area.
Is that Myers?
Myers Canyon. Well, no, it's not Myers Canyon. It's on the other side of it.
On the other side.
Yeah.
Up around the corner there.
Yeah. You know where the forestry area is up there, where all the pine trees were burned and everything. That's where it's at.
Okay.
Yeah. It was the fire came through. Actually, two of them came through. Pretty hot and pretty bad, so burned the area twice. But they have put in some piping to be able to get water to run down now into the, I would say into the, what would they call it? I guess it's a ravine of some sort, but it runs through the ravine down to the bottom, and then they have a million-gallon tank at the bottom of the ravine, and that's where the water runs into there. Then everything is gravity fed. When we were standing out there, it's an optical illusion because it looks like it's going up, but it's actually going down. But it was pretty.
Does it run full time?
Full time.
All year round?
24/7, yeah. It's still running now. And we were really surprised they were getting that much. We're actually putting another meter at the very bottom of it just before the tank so that we can see what the loss ratio is from the top to the bottom of evaporation. Just something we're helping them out with. And that way they'll know how much. Typically right now, they're buying, Banning Heights Mutual is buying their water from Banning. And Banning Heights Mutual is actually doing most of the work to get the water down to Banning. So when it's all said and done, they're both on the contract with Edison, and Edison will turn the Flume over to them. And then they'll both have a share of that Flume. At that point in time, then Banning Heights Mutual won't need to buy water from Banning anymore. They'll have their own source, which would really, really be nice for them.
That's cool.
Yeah, that way they won't have that rate factor.
Does that just take care of the bench?
It's the bench. It takes care of the bench and Banning. It comes down and it goes into. I don't know if you've ever been up in that area or not at all. If you go up, you know, like you're going up to onto the bench to go to Banning Heights Mutual. On the right-hand side, down in the lower section of it, are Banning spreading ponds.
That's where the gate is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, beyond that gate. And right. In about maybe, I'd say a mile and a half, are the spreading ponds. So, and they had quite a bit of water in them when we were driving through there yesterday. They looked pretty good. So, they estimate so far that Edison has spent about $50 million on this renovation. It would have been a lot cheaper for Edison if they would have just maintained it the whole time. But they didn't maintain it. They figured, well, everything will be fine, and then you know, got killed in the process. They're talking about, too, Banning Heights Mutual, about having someone drill a hole through the mountain and then run pipe through there and then run it so that the pipe can run all the way down into the lower section. And that way, the meters wouldn't be needed anymore because they wouldn't need to meter how much is going in and how much is coming out because there wouldn't be any loss. So to me, that was a good idea. But for them, it's about $16 million to do the drilling, not including the pipe. So the drilling was pretty doggone expensive. And I think that's about all that all the new stuff that's going on with us. We went up to take a look at it just to see what we could do to help. And they're like you, they're looking for the grant application fund. So, we wanted to make sure. But we've actually been helping them along the line with some of the groundwork and stuff like that they need to get. Because Banning and them they're both our customers too. So we're trying to help where we can. That's pretty much it. If you got any questions or anything?
I know the other directors and these guys weren't there for the backbone pipeline. I know we were there.
Oh, yeah, maybe I can. Is it okay? I'll elaborate a little bit on that
too.
We're in the process of figuring out all the aspects of what would help. In other words, obviously the money is the big factor. It's $150 million to run the pipeline from Beaumont Avenue all the way out here. Whether we go through part of the res or we go through another area of it, there are some new developments that have happened, which I can't talk to you about those, but they're not anything that is going to affect the actual production of it. It just may be better. I mean, make it better. The other aspect of it is that literally just beyond your area here a little bit, in Cabazon, Metropolitan Water already has a facility there, and they have several bunkers where water's coming in and through now, which they are willing to trade. So far they're willing to trade. We haven't heard the latest, but the guy that we're working with is retiring, so I don't know about the new guy. But they're willing to trade us acre feet for acre feet. And, that way we would be able to get you water from them a lot faster. The only thing about it is a little bit saltier, but it is mixed in with Whitewater River water when it gets to you. So it does get the salinity down a little bit. So for my money, that would be the least expensive way to go. And we could probably get grant funding for the whole thing, using you and using Banning. And getting a grant to be able to cover it, and then we just have to figure out how to get water from you to Banning at that point. But it's moving forward. I won't be on the board when the decisions are made, because I'm off on December 6th. But hopefully somebody new will be on the board, and you guys will have a spokesperson there for you too, which would be really nice. I think that's about it on the flume and that. Any questions on that? And Mike, if you want to know any more about it, I'm sure Lance will probably share the stuff that I can't share with you so that you know.
Yeah, I thought they were going to go over that. We had a general manager's meeting scheduled, but he had to go to Sacramento, so I imagine that will be rescheduled. We can go over that in mass, with Covington and Dan and everybody else, all the players. So
yeah, we're looking at the possibility too of getting a lobbyist up there for this region. So it'll help us a lot if we can do that. Somebody that can actually lobby for what we need, which would be a great thing. I mean, but the agency is doing; they're just taking leaps and bounds forward. They were recognized down in San Diego for the grant funding by several large groups, and then all of a sudden you had Metropolitan and Eastern and others coming to us and saying, tell us about what you're doing and how we can help our companies that we deal with too. So I think it's been a good thing. I don't know if you told them or not, but the money for the helipads.
Yeah, I was going to go over that for my manager.
$1 million is approved, and for six of them. And one of them's out here with you, and then throughout the past, and then one up on High Valley and one over on the bench. So
that was from the county meeting, or is that was through the county's meeting, or that was from you guys?
That's from us.
Okay.
Yeah, it's county funds, ARPA funds, but it's we initiated it and got it moving forward, so we're able to get it approved, and that's good. So I mean, for fires, that's going to make a phenomenal difference. I mean, the firefighters did such a great job this last year anyway on everything that was out there. It was incredible how fast they knocked them down, especially in our area. Over on the other side, a little bit different because it's a little harder to fight them in the forest. But Sue and I took a drive up there. We were up there for 8 days in the fire area, my wife and myself, and it's amazing what those guys do. I mean, it's crazy watching them. And then they're going through and cutting the lower sections of all the trees off and allowing that to burn so that it doesn't burn the whole tree. So it's kind of nice. I mean, they're just so specialized. It's incredible. Okay. Hope I didn't steal all your thunder.
No.
All right.
He's got more thunder.
All right. And if you don't need me for anything else, I'm going to...
Thank you, Ron. No, I don't think we have much more.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Ron.
Thank you.
And we could hear you the whole time.
And I could hear you guys, too. That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you very much. Have a nice meeting.
Okay. Next up, we have community involvement. Did we hear anything about the trunk or treat?
No, I had called her last month after this meeting, and I was like, if you need the water district to approve it, the board did give their approval, but not as, like, we don't think it's our responsibility. And she's like, oh, I think it'll be fine. I'm just going to do it. And I was like, well, don't use our name. Don't say that, oh, the Cabazon Water District said it's fine. It's not even our, like, we can't even give that authority. And she kind of just kept saying, like, I was like, I think you need to go with the county. I called Diana to find out if she knew anyone. And she's like, I know the department, but I don't know who works it anymore. So I told Victoria that, and she was like, okay, well, I don't even know. Like, she kind of seemed like she wasn't going to go that route. But I was like, don't make us liable. Like, we don't want to be liable for that. So I don't know if she ended up going through the county or not.
Oh.
She left? What?
Yeah.
What happened? No.
Oh, never mind.
I was going to call her and ask her if she had a flyer or something. So, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what's happening with that. But I do know that the community center is having a harvest festival again on Halloween. That's from, I can't remember what the time is. They have a flyer, and then their window, she was supposed to send me one, but she never did.
So the Cabazon Community Center is doing a harvest one?
Yeah, that's on the actual Halloween, which is a Thursday.
Are we going to...
Oh, we're going to give them chips. We have leftover chips from the from
the
fair.
We have two big boxes,
so,
one for each holiday. Well, actually, we were going to give them one for each holiday, and then for Christmas, we would purchase toys like we did last year, so... Got enough for a couple of holidays.
Yeah, so I don't know if the trunk or treat is still happening. I haven't heard anything.
Does anybody know what they're doing for, like, Thanksgiving or Christmas? Because I know last time we did a donation of... Mm-hmm. We did mostly headphones, right? That was on here.
We did. Me and one of the other girls, we went to Five Below. We got a whole bunch of stuff. We got, like, basketballs and soccer balls and headphones and our paint supplies and stuff. It was kind of fun. Five Below.
You guys do that for Christmas?
Yeah.
We did that for Christmas. We gave a bunch of gifts to the community center.
Only Five Below.
Yeah. We had so much fun, too. We're like, oh, look.
What about the Thanksgiving? What did you guys
do? I don't... Did we do anything last year for Thanksgiving for them? Did we give them anything?
I really can't remember, but...
I usually do Thanksgiving. Okay. I mean,
yeah.
They give out turkeys through Morongo for everybody,
yeah.
But I don't think they... I think that's the only...
Well, we still have two cases. I mean, the big boxes, and I don't know how many chips are in each box. Well, we were going to give them a box for Thanksgiving just to supplement whatever provisions. Because sometimes they do have meals there, so they can just give away chips for their meals.
Well, are they doing the meals, or is Carol's Kitchen?
I was just wondering, I didn't know if you did, like, you know, like a canned food drive or something like that.
Yeah, we never have, but...
There's a couple vendors doing the food stuff, right? Yeah. Okay, anything else on community involvement? Okay. Moving on to updates. Cabazon Water District's operation report. Mr.
Pollock? Okay, here we go.
Right.
So the first item is something Ron talked about. It's the Hella hydrants. And, of course, they are going to install one at Tank 1, which is on the north side of the 10 freeway, right next to the casino,
their vacant field over there. So our tank one well site is going to get a hella hydrant, and our tank three, which is up there, just
up against the hillside on the Jensen area. And that contractor is Glenn Chavez.
And working with Matt Howard, who's the operational manager of the San Gregorio Pass Water Agency. So everything has been USA'd. All the utility lines have been located.
The next step was the approval process that was completed on October 7th by the San Gregorio Pass Water Agency to approve the resolution to execute the American Rescue Plan Act Fund agreement between the San Gregorio Pass and the County of Riverside. And the next phase of the project is the County Board of Supervisors is going to vote to complete the approval process on October 29th at their County Board of Supervisors meeting. So once that's confirmed, then I believe they will start with the construction. I know up at the Tank 3 site, they have to do a bunch of earth moving because there's rocks and you need to create a path. Now, I do have an approved set of plan with a tank components consist of, but I do not have an approved set of plans on how they're going to attach to our pipelines. So one thing that was mentioned at the San Gregorio Pass Water Agency is some companies don't allow tapping sleeves. They want a T cut in with the gate valve. Because tapping sleeves, once you cut it and you just, it's like a clamp. It's like a clamp.
Yeah.
It's not as sound, you know, as far as construction as cutting in a T. So if they do standardized drawings, they're going to be doing this all over Southern California. So why not have an approved set of standard drawings that shows what components are going to be put in? You know where the pipeline comes in off the tank. You T it. You feed the section that goes into the tank. Do you need a backflow device? Do you need a meter to track the water used in operations?
You're going to have an automatic gate valve also.
Well, they do. It's solenoid operated. So the helicopter pilots do have a solenoid operated switch that releases the valve to fill the tank, because the tank is 8,500 gallons. And every time they come down, it should be full. So
you're probably going to have a check valve. Probably want to have a back valve.
Well, that's the other problem too. When you have a backflow device in there, you lose about 15 pounds of pressure. So if you don't have a fall rate, it's only gravity fed. So your tank has so much water in it, which creates some head pressure. And if it flows in and it goes through a backflow device, the fill rate could be compromised, slow down. So that's why we need an approved set of plans. They've already installed one at Harupa. I don't know exactly what they installed, but I did have recommendations.
You talk with Chander Latul, Director Latul from San Gregorio.
Right, right.
Yeah, because he was going to let me go out there and look at them all.
Okay, yeah. But anyways, they should have an approved set of plans for the piping, because they do have one that shows how the tank is engineered. In all the components and how they build it on site. So
that it's probably just some kind of a quick backwater valve. I couldn't imagine a big backflow assembly.
Right. And it could just be a barrel check valve, just something you put in. It's a flap, you know, and
exactly.
It seals when there's no water going through it. It's spring loaded. So
You know how those are going to be protected from people trying to steal water? Like,
no, because it's solenoid operated. I mean, I'm sure. You know, with our talented
they have talented
so I have a pool already there.
You fill it up, the pool, yeah.
Put some lounge chairs around it.
Yeah, talented squatters. But we'll have to monitor that. We'll have to
who
reactive and proactive at the same time.
We'll be responsible.
We are solely responsible. It's like them coming into our service area and installing a fire hydrant. Once they install it, it's for us to maintain, but it's for the public, so it's providing public service.
So if they use the water, if they fill it up 7 times to put out a fire, do we get refunded for that water?
No.
No, just like fire hydrant.
Yeah, okay.
and it's the maintenance is on us, and that's why I wanted to, because obviously later on in the report we'll talk about how much water we produce, how much water is being, you know, used, and what our water loss is, water used in operations and water loss. So
is that a tax write-off?
No.
Should be.
Yeah.
Should be a tax write-off. Should bring that up.
Yeah.
So that's basically the latest update for the Hella hydrants. And then for our maintenance, we're doing tank inspections. I did get quotes for tank one and tank two. And Inland Potable Water Services is going to be doing the tank inspections. They were going to call with a date, but I haven't heard. So those two tanks will be completed. They will be inspected before the end of this year. And then we have two more tanks that will be inspected before the end of next year. So we'll be in compliance with all of our tanks. So everything should be inspected, cleaned, and have a final report for our Water Resources Department. And more good news, Evelyn and I attended a meeting with our IT department, BC3, regarding a grant funding opportunity through the California Cybersecurity Grant Program to replace both of our services, which we were quoted as $22,742. The grant funding application was completed and submitted on September 26th. The deadline was the 27th, so we did it within the allotted time. And both servers should be replaced whenever that grant funding comes through. I know we talked about it at a previous meeting that we were going to try and maintain those servers, and hopefully they would limp along until we budget them for next year's budget cycle. But this grant opportunity came forward, so we're gonna hopefully be successful with that. And last meeting, a couple board members asked, what do we have, what do we use in acre feet? So in 2023, the total potable water supply was 7,760,000 gallons, which is 23.8 acre feet. The total potable demand was 6,751,000 gallons, which is 20.7 acre feet. And the potable water loss used in operations was basically 1 million gallons, which is 3.9 acre feet. So, so that has to do with our firefighting operations, our dead end flushing for
pools.
Filling up vagrant pool or squatter's pools, you know, in the summertime. Not that we do it voluntarily, that's all. It's all bootlegged in by our fine citizens. But, anyways.
Amazing, 1 million gallons is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're supposed to do dead end flushing, so you know that's something's required to maintain water quality because you do have a lot of dead ends, and if they're not looped, then you do need to flush them on a regular basis because that stuff just builds up. Mm-hmm. Especially with fire hydrants too, you have a fire hydrant lead, and when you open up that water, it's going to be a little rusty because it's sat there stagnant for a little bit. So, yeah. And then, of course, we talked a little bit about the rate study. So we initially budgeted $40,000 for the rate study. For the budget cycle of 2024-25 budget. And we did receive the quotes. And unfortunately, we can't do it in-house due to Proposition 218. And that is the right to vote on tax initiative. And outside vendors will be required to perform the new rate study. And I believe we mentioned that we're going to get a revised quote and then see if we can get some kind of new rates for maybe a smaller water system.
Maybe push that forward. And I did mention what Proposition 218 was.
Proposition 218, just to give you a little coverage on that, is a California voter initiative that established requirements for setting water rates and other fees for public services. It requires that water rates be fair and equitable, and the public agencies follow certain procedures when proposing rate changes. It encourages public notice,
agencies must mail a notice to every property owner in their service area when proposing a rate change. And then it's supposed to provide public hearings. Agencies must hold a public hearing where members of the public can be heard, can provide oral testimony. And the property owners and customers can submit written protest against the proposed rates if a majority of parcels affected by the parcel proposed rates protest. The agency cannot adopt a rate study. And of course,
the majority.
Rates must be based on the actual cost of providing services to each parcel. And just a little update on operations with the temperatures changing from hot to cold, the soil temperature changes, everything expands and contracts, and it's been causing a few leaks. So we've had a couple leaks. The two that I wrote for this report, we had a main leak on Broadway, 75 feet south of Bonita, and a service leak on Bonita, 1,000 feet west of Broadway, where we had to replace 20 feet of poly PE, which is polyethylene. It's a black plastic. Replace that with copper. And the next item was for the backbone pipeline. We attended a meeting. Both Sarah was there physically, and Taffy Brock and I attended the San Gronio Pass virtually. And that was for the San Gronio Pass Water Agency Backbone Feasibility Workshop on September 30th. A few of the main points was provide coverage across the San Gronio Pass Water Agency service area in the Cabazon area and beyond, with recommendations for the pipe diameter from 24 to 54 inches, and 66 inches was preferred according to Webb and Associates. The Cabazon District is currently working with Webb and Associates as well as Supervisor Gutierrez regarding the Cabazon Community Plan as the district prepares for future growth. We already completed our grant funding application for main replacements, upsizing the pipes to accommodate the growth and increase the flow. And Riverside County is also planning for a wastewater plant to accommodate the upcoming growth. The wastewater plant is some time off, but our pipelines are underway. The grant funding application plans are already, everything's already designed. We're just waiting for the funds to move forward on that. And the last item I have is the Cabazon Water District submitted their lead service line inventory to the State Water Resources Control Board on October 10th. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency maintained that on October 16, 2024, was the compliance date for the lead service line inventories. All community and non-transient, non-community water systems must complete and submit an initial inventory, even if all service lines are identified as non-lead. The science has been settled for decades. There is no safe level of lead exposure in drinking water. The primary source of lead is from pipes, which can be present and a risk to the health of children and adults. So that was something that every water district had been working on for some time, but the submission date was due by October 16th. So we're in compliance. It's already done. And that is all I have for the operations.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
A lot of information.
Yeah. Today. Okay, moving on. Public comment? Okay.
Bubba Boo's tired.
Next up is future agenda items. Any suggested items from the public? Management?
I had written in here budget amendment. Are we still doing that or no? We did you did say to move the 100,000 to the well too.
Yeah,
thing, and
I don't think we need to do a budget amendment for that, do we?
It was
going to
be for the
Bowman.
Are we
going to
add a different line in for the sale of the property?
Well, I could do that without an amendment. Just just add an extra line.
You can just add the line, but you're only going to, you're already going to move the 100 grand to the well site money.
Right.
So you're only going to
have... But we just wouldn't be doing the Bonita Vault thing. We would just leave it as is. That's over.
I don't know where it's touching on it. But if we want to add it to the agenda, we can have a discussion next time. The money will still be there. Just
yeah.
Where it gets categorized.
Right.
Fine with
right.
adding it to
yeah.
the agenda.
I mean, we all know where it is.
Right.
Where it's what it came from and why it's sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our general manager has amazing budgets.
Yeah,
I know.
I just like to manage each line item individually, so that's why we already put 30,000 in there. To put the 100 in there, we'd have 130. And
I'll ask you guys. You guys are the finance
I think
and audit.
Okay to
I'll
add
ask
that to the okay. agenda for next time.
Okay.
And then nothing else I can think of.
Nothing.
The only thing I guess I was thinking was usually we move the Christmas board meeting up a week, but next. This year, I think it's going to be early enough that it won't really interfere with Christmas. I think it's the 17th. But we can talk about that at the end.
Does the November meeting fall outside of the Thanksgiving week?
Yeah, that one is the 19th, so it's a full week before Thanksgiving. And then for the December one, it's the 17th, so it's a full over a full week before Christmas.
Probably.
So I don't think we need to talk
about it. It always lands at the same time the Cavazon does their pageant.
So. Mm-hmm. So I guess I don't have anything except for that budget thing.
Any suggested items from the board? Okay, management comment?
Another great meeting.
Board member comment?
Another great meeting.
Good. Okay, and with this, do I really have to read through all the miscellaneous, or can I just say see the agenda?
Just see the agendas.
Yeah, I think for the miscellaneous items, you can see the agenda here. We have the next upcoming meetings.
MAC meeting next Thursday, everybody.
Yep, be there.
Except Sarah. Sarah, you're excused.
I'm going to be in Chicago. I'm going to be eating some good pizza.
I'll be there the first week of November.
Oh, okay. Okay, with that, do I have a motion for adjournment?
Come on, guys.
I make a motion to adjourn.
I second it.
Motion to adjourn at 6:51 p.m. made by Director Carlin, second by Director Brock. Director Carlin?
Aye.
Director Brock?
Aye.
Director Davis is absent.
Board Vice Chair Tinker?
Aye.
Board Chair Warfel?
Aye. Meeting adjourned at 6:52.
Nice job, everybody.